Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We praise you, Jesus. We worship you, Lord. Well, we certainly can feel the momentum of revival building in each and every service and every day that passes. We are in the very heartbeat of God right now. When we talk about end time revival, we are near the very heart of God. And we are very near to the very purpose of the New Testament church. And so what it is all really about, and that is revival. I am a firm believer that we Pentecostal preachers do not have but two texts. We really don't have but two things to preach. One of them is revival, and the other is rapture. That's the only two messages we have to preach. Revival and rapture. You mean we shouldn't preach holiness? Come on now. Come on. Don't you know you can't have revival without holiness? Holiness is revival. And it all works together. But everything we preach it in a gear toward revival and evangelism. Every aspect of it. I don't want to take a lot of time just talking here today. I want to get into what I feel to do in this session of time. I am, again, I want to say honored to be here with you and to have the privilege of talking about this marvelous subject of revival. I love revival. And I love the message of revival. And I thank God for it. I want to add a little story along with what Brother Cole was saying this morning to perhaps alleviate some of the fears that we were feeling. There is a young couple that we just recently taught a home Bible study to in Raleigh, and they've come into the church. They're so precious and so naive and so beautiful. Young married couple. The man got the Holy Ghost first. And they had not been but to two or three services. Till I looked over there, and they're just like a couple children. They're about 25. But they act like little children. And I looked over there, and the man would praise the Lord a little while, and then he'd kiss his wife a little while. He'd praise the Lord a little while and kiss his wife a little while. And worship God a little bit and hug her a little while. And the love of God was in that place. And I looked over there one Sunday morning, and he was doing his normal routine, worshiping God and kissing his wife. That helps revival, too. That has its part in revival. Some of us might be able to shout a little more if they'd kiss their wife a little more often. I looked over there, and he had his hand on her head and had her arm up in the air, and he was just working on her. Then he'd hug her a while and kiss her a while and praise the Lord a while and pray for her a while. After church, she came up to me and she said, "Pastor Huntley, would you tell Lester to quit trying to give me the Holy Ghost and leave me alone?" She said, "I'm going to receive it, but he just keeps putting pressure on me." Well, a few services later, she did receive the Holy Ghost. And then a couple weeks ago, I told the church, I said, "We've had a lot of new people to come in. In our next service, my subject will be a restating of our position. And we will be covering every aspect of the holiness doctrine connected to this church. And all of you that are new, I want you to be sure to be here to hear this. It is a restatement of our position." And they were there that service when I made the announcement that it was going to be on such and such a night. And that young lady came up to me after church. And she said, "Oh, Brother Huntley," she said, "I'm so thrilled about the message that you're going to be preaching." She said, "I've got so many things in my life that I need to change and get them right. I can't wait to hear what you have to say to us about living for God." After church that night, she came up to me and she said, "Boy, I'm really thrilled now." She said, "I love clothes and Lester's going to buy me a bunch of new ones." nothing that has been concocted, contrived, or diminished. Just because God is pouring it out in a great measure does not mean it's not the original, real power of God in the earth today. Now, this is going to be an unusual session. And it's going to be different from yesterday. But I have been asked to talk to you about revival. And that's what I want to do. So we're going to preach to you today about revival. How many of you really want revival? Would you raise your hand? Everybody got your hand in the air? You want revival? You really want it? You want evangelism? You want to reach the world? All right. Now, I'm as serious as I've ever been in my life. And I don't have time to play games or try to be funny. I really am serious about this thing. I told our church before we came, I want you to pray. I want God to let a revival fire start in Mississippi that'll sweep out from that camp meeting. And they're believing that. And I'm believing that. And we're not wanting a cotton candy revival meeting. About the time you get ready to enjoy it, it's gone. I hate the stuff. I don't like to be teased. Fill your mouth full of it, get ready to enjoy it, and it's gone. We don't want a cotton candy camp meeting. We want some meat that will stick to your ribs when you get home from this camp meeting. Amen? Now, you have told me that you want revival, that you are serious about it, you're sincere about it, and I am too. And what I'm about to do, I've never been more serious, and I believe it will affect us from this moment on. If this many people will join with us in this session, we're going to add something to this camp meeting that is absolutely necessary. What I want to do from now to the time that I quit preaching, I want all of us to pretend that none of us have the Holy Ghost. Not one of us. You believe it's essential? You believe you gotta have it? Then we're in trouble. Because none of us have it. Now, I want you to worship God like you got it. But I want you to act like in your mind you don't have it. In other words, it's the will of God and it's my desire that every one of us in this tabernacle talk in tongues before we leave here today. Every one of us, from the platform to the sound room, from the left to the right, every preacher, every pastor, every Sunday school teacher, every home Bible study teacher, every person that's got the Holy Ghost or doesn't have the Holy Ghost, we want a revival in Mississippi, and that's how it's going to come. How many of you will seriously join with me in this today? Would you? All right. Now, how do you know you received the Holy Ghost? You speak in other tongues. Brother Cole has already laid the foundation for me here today. You speak in other tongues. Now, you don't have it until you speak in tongues. I want us, everyone, to speak in tongues before we leave this service today. Some of you are going to receive it while I'm preaching. When the Holy Ghost falls on you and you start talking in tongues, that's it. That's what we're asking for. That's what we're looking for. Come on, Mississippi. God wants to give us a Book of Acts revival. And Pentecost needs a Pentecost. And that's what I want to preach about right now. Pentecost needs a Pentecost. The minute you hear somebody talk in tongues, write it up. Another one just got it. Somebody else just received it. Now listen, the devil had rather that a brand new person come into the kingdom of God and receive the Spirit than for you that are here today to get refilled. Because you know the devil, and you know the word, and you know what to do. But until you get full of the Holy Ghost, you're not worth a plug nickel to nobody. We've got to get full of the Spirit. And we'll tear the devil's kingdom down in Mississippi when the saints of God get full of the Holy Ghost. Well, these guys here already got it. They're talking in tongues right here. I want us to talk in tongues from the front to the back, from the left to the right. Let's get ready. We've got to have revival. And I'm going to receive it while I'm preaching. Woo! I'd like to go home from camp and tell everybody that didn't come, you should have been there. We all receive the Holy Ghost all over again. All right, let me hurry into my message now. But by the way, there's a lady receiving the Holy Ghost right there. By the way, any time that you feel the Spirit, it's always in order to receive the Holy Ghost at a camp meeting and in a Pentecostal service. Woo! Come on now, you don't have it, and you don't have all day to get it. And if you got it, it shouldn't take you all day to get it anyway. Let's quickly go to the Word of the Lord. Luke chapter 24. And I want to say how much I appreciate your great district superintendent. It is not everywhere you go that the district superintendent will knock you down shouting. Woo! That's my kind of district superintendent. It's not everywhere you go that the board members will shout and praise God while you're preaching. Sometimes they really act like true board members. I don't think there's any pedigree or position in the upper room. Everybody talks in tongues. Everybody gets full of the power. Now, sorry. Luke 24, 49. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. I want you to notice with me, tarry ye until. Tarry ye until. If we could add this scripture in pertinence to camp meeting 85. But go to the campgrounds. Behold, I'll send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the tabernacle until you have been endued with power from on high. Acts chapter 1 and verse 14. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary the mother of Jesus and with his brethren. Acts 2, 1 through 4. I won't read it for the sake of time. We're going to read it later on in the message. Everybody said, praise the Lord. You've got to worship God to receive the Holy Ghost. And by the way, you don't have it. Turn around to your neighbor and say, you don't have it. You better get rid of it. From the platform to the back door. Nobody's got the Holy Ghost. Everybody's got to talk in tongues. We need a renewing. We need a refilling. We need an outpouring. We need a Pentecost. Somebody got it up here. I heard them talking in tongues. You may be seated. Pentecost has a history of swinging, on the pendulum of direction. We go from one extreme to the other extreme. It used to be said, revival was the word for the hour. That described many things. But soon we shelved revival. And the word was evangelism. And we went into evangelism. And we were all out in an evangelistic effort. But today, on my part of what I would like to add to this great camp meeting with its powerful direction, I want to preach about revival. Evangelism is reaching the lost. Revival is to flourish anew, to live again, to spring into activity, a stirring up of religious faith. It is an atmosphere that's in a church, and it's an attitude that's in the saints. That is revival. We have lived to see the day, and I'm not critical, and I don't have any axes to grind today, but I'm just going to preach, okay? I want to tell you, we've lived to see the day that you can bring Smokey Joe and his blowing five into your church. And regardless of what kind of situation you're in, folks will be added to that congregation. There are men of talent in our movement. There are men of ability. There are men of charisma. There are men of personal persuasion. There are men that have absolute fantastic personal testimony that can add people to your congregation. Large numbers. But when they leave, your church doesn't love Jesus a bit more. They don't pray a bit more. They don't live a bit holier. They don't love you a bit more. And that's all right and good if that's what you want. But that's not what I want. I want a revival that's prevailing, that is persistent, that is consistent in the church. My friend, if you add 100 new converts to a dead church, it won't be long till you'll have 100 dead new converts. God's church is to be revived. It's to be alive. It's to be fresh. Woo! I've had them in my church. I know what I'm talking about. Numbers of people receive the Holy Ghost, and the saints are still carnal. They're still cold. They don't read the Bible. They don't pray. That's not the plan of God for 85. We need evangelism that is the result of revival in the church. Woo! One weary pastor wrote, "Tell my deacons when I'm dead that at my grave no tears be shed. For though I'm buried, they need have no fears. I'm no more dead than they've been for years." Pentecost genuinely needs a Pentecost. A sinner visited a Pentecostal church here a while back in our area, and he told another minister from another church, not a part of that church, but another minister, this is one of our churches, a sinner. He said, "I love the pastor. He said, I love the way they preach. I love the way they sing. But," he said, "man, why aren't they excited? Where is their enthusiasm?" He said, "they need to get with it." Woo! We need a revival of the original power of Pentecost in the church. Pentecost needs a Pentecost. Now, many pastors will travel, and they will go from place to place. And I think it is good, because they are manifesting a hunger and a desire to learn more about how to have revival, how to affect their city, how to see a move of God. We have become students of seminars and folks that know how to analyze, take notes, and be taught. But it's very disappointing when you stand in the place where I stood as a young pastor and you're trying to find out where it's at and how to get it done. And you run down somebody like Brother Kraft. You get him over to camp meeting somewhere, and you say, "Now listen, Brother Graham, there's nobody over here but me and you. Now your church is growing. God's blessing. I've heard all about it. Would you tell me how you're doing it? What's your secret?"
I'm going to tell another story. I just want to reach my city. Tell me. And Brother Kraft says, we're loving God. I said, yeah, I got that part. Come on. He says, we're praying. I said, yeah. Come on, man. I got that part. We understand it. We're fasting. Yeah. I got that part, too. We're believing God. I said, yeah, I got that part. We're teaching home Bibles. Yeah, we're doing that, too. Yeah, I got you. We're coming to church. I said, yeah, I understand. We're doing that, too. Come on now. And after a while, he says, that's it. I said, go sit down. You're not telling the truth. Now walk off discouraged. I'm looking for the secret. I'm looking for what to do. But God spoke to me not long ago in my local church and said, it's not the what. It's the how. There's not that much difference in what goes on in Jackson or anywhere else in the world in the ranks of Pentecost. But my friends, the difference is how and why it's been done. Woo! Hear the word of the Lord.
I know thy works.
I know your works.
And thy labor.
It's not that much different from everybody else. I know what you're doing. Go ahead.
And thy patience.
Hurry.
And how thou canst not bear them which are evil.
Go ahead.
And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles.
Go ahead.
And are not.
Yeah.
And hast found them liars.
God said, I know what you're doing. That's not your problem. What you're doing is not your problem. Read on.
And has borne and has patience.
Go ahead.
And for my name's sake has labored and has not fainted.
That's all good. Go ahead.
Nevertheless, I have someone against me.
I still got something against you.
Because I have left thy first love.
Because you have left your first love. You're doing everything right, but you're doing it the wrong way. Do you still love to pray? Do you still love to worship? Do you still love to read your Bible? Do you still love to come to church?
Oh, yeah.
It's not what you're doing. It's how you're doing it. Hey, there's a difference in praying and praying. I said there's a difference in praying and praying. And I'll show you a prime illustration. I was helping a pastor once when I was an evangelist put a steeple on a brand new church. There was a gang of men there. And we were up on top of the building. The pastor said, now, brethren, we need to pray. This wind's blowing. This thing's heavy. Man, we could be in a lot of trouble here if the wind blows while we got it up. It was very heavy. So I knelt my head reverentially. And God help us. Yawned a few times. And grabbed it. We got halfway up. And the wind started blowing. And that big old steeple went up in the air. All of us started leaning toward the edge of the building. And I said, my God, help us, Jesus. I'm sorry. I really didn't pray a while ago, God, but I'm praying now. I need your help. I said, there's a difference in praying and in praying. When you walk in the prayer room and you're yawning and you're reading the stuff on the wall and you're sitting around cleaning your finger up, that's not praying. We need to get down to prayer. It's not what you're doing. It's how you're doing it. It's why you're doing it. Yeah, we come to church. But like one great preacher said, some folks come to church leaving. And some folks leave coming back. It's not what you're doing. It's how you're doing it. Yeah, we all believe in praising God.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. And I know the frustrations of traveling. These evangelists have been in on us. They told us a little bit about it. You get in the church, you get ready to praise the Lord. Let's all praise God. Then you get your hands up, there's a doubt. There's a difference in praising God and in praising God. It's how you do it that really makes the difference. There's a difference in living holy and living holy. It's one thing to live holy and resent it and endure it. And something else to live it and rejoice and enjoy it. We got too many folks in the church
that don't cut the hair, that don't live like the world, don't wear makeup, don't wear jewelry, but they'd be better off if they did, because they would then know they need to repent, because they hate it, and they don't love it, and they don't cherish it, and it's not in their heart. Pentecost needs a Pentecost. Pentecost needs a Pentecost. There's another one just got the Holy Ghost. You may be seated. We go from place to place. We're looking for a pattern of success. We're looking for principles that will work. We're looking for methods and programs that will bring us the results that we desire. But I want to tell you, there will be plenty close and there will be plenty lost until Pentecost has a Pentecost. That is our answer. You can't do any better than 3,000 in one day. And in a few chapters, 5,000 men being added to the church. That's hard to be. Y'all ain't gonna get the Holy Ghost that quiet. But you know, and I guess this is blow 'em out day, Brother Cole. You know what? We can't expect the world to do what we won't do. We want them to run to the altar. We don't know where it's at. We want them to repent. We never do it. We want them to talk in tongues, and we haven't even done it in camp meeting. Why should we demand of the world what we who claim to have it won't do ourselves? In there an easier way? In there a cooler way? In there a more suave way? I'm sorry, neighbor. There's an upper room in this church. There's an upper room in this church. And that's the only way to have revival. We need a Pentecost in the worst way. You can't improve on it. 3,000 one day. 5,000 men in a couple of chapters. Bible didn't even list the women and the children. Pretty good meeting. 5,000 men. But let me show you another reason why we need a Pentecost. I just recently saw this. Brother Craig preached this in 1902. Some of you preached this back at the merger. But there's more of an evidence and a sign of the Holy Ghost than talking in tongues. And there's more to it than the fruit of the Spirit. I never had realized it. But Joel said, when God pours His Spirit out, your young men are going to dream dreams, and your old men are going to see visions. Don't get it backwards? Thank you for correcting me, Superintendent. Backwards. Rewrite that. Anyway, the Bible said when they get the Holy Ghost, they get a dream and they get a vision. And I got to thinking about that. Not only do you talk in tongues, but you know these guys that get the Holy Ghost. It happens in Raleigh all the time, and I know it does in your church because it's Bible. The first time they get the Holy Ghost, you know what they start screaming? I'm going to win my whole school. I'm going to win my whole city. I'm going to win my whole church that I used to go to. I'm going to win my whole family. And the church says, well, baby, that's all right. She'll settle down after a while. You know what we do? We kill a part of the work of the Holy Ghost in the church. Because God said, when I pour my Spirit out, not only are they going to talk in tongues, they're going to believe me for revival. They're going to have dreams. They're going to have vision. Woo! Hey, I'm coming after you today. My time's running out fast. but this is the only day we're going to do it. And if you're sitting there with your arms crossed and you're not after the Holy Ghost, you probably don't have it. Because people that have it want it. Woo! I said people that's got it want it. They want more of it. They want more of it. Needs a Pentecost. Pentecost needs a Pentecost.
You may be seated, I won't get to say anything.
Turn around your neighbor and say, have you got it yet? Come on! I said, have you got it yet? Listen to me just a minute. Let me tell you something. There ain't no need to leave a camp meeting and expect revival until the church gets the Holy Ghost.
To build a new church. There ain't no need to teach a Bible study. There ain't no need to run a bus route. There ain't no need to have it roll and grow if you hadn't got the Holy Ghost.
Jesus said, get in that upper room and stay there. Peter, don't preach one sermon. Don't build one church. Don't try to reach one soul. Get in there. Stay, 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 till you feel.
Much more got it in.
Much more got the Holy Ghost in. My Lord, Mississippi will never be the same. If everybody in this tabernacle today would have a Pentecost, Mississippi would never be the same.
Sweeten up. If all the discouraged folks would cheer up. If all the estranged folks would make up. If all the gossipers would shut up. If all the Bibles would stand up. We'd have a Bible in Mississippi.
Have you got it? Have you talked in tongues? Have you felt a move of the Spirit? Have you been baptized? I believe God has ordained Camp Meeting 85 for another Pentecost. Another Pentecost!
You may be seated. Keep on receiving the Spirit. Keep on talking in tongues. This is what we need to start with
We're not going to go far without it. And if I have traveled our nation preaching in Pentecostal churches, I have discovered that we are under attack, that we are under a demonic invasion, and we're seeing a whole lot of formalism, denominationalism, charismaticism, full gospelism, showbism, Hollywoodism, sensationalism, liberalism. But what we need is a soaking and a saturation of Pentecostalism. It's no time to swap horses now. I want to ride the one that Apostle Peter rode. I want to ride the one that Paul rode. I want to ride the one the Apostolic Church rode. There he is in our midst. Let me throw this in now. Somebody just got the Holy Ghost. Now, if you're a saint, that don't mean much. But if you're a pastor and you want to reach your city, every time one of your saints jumps up and talks in tongues, you get that much closer to reaching your city. You ain't going to reach your city with a bunch of deadheads. You ain't going to reach your city with a bunch of pew warmers. You're going to have saints that are on fire. Our greatest opposition to our worship, resentment to our praise, resentment to our boisterousness, our holy rolling, and our running is no longer from the world. It don't matter what they think. They don't affect a thing. But when folks that are supposed to have the Holy Ghost sit in church wrapped up like a I don't know what, and every time somebody shouts, they think they're the spiritual judge. Spirit or flesh? Spirit or flesh? Spirit or flesh? Real or fake? Let me see your shouting license. Do you have a right to do that or do you not? Sit there and hinder revival. God wants us to get up and get with the program. I said, but Brother Huntley, I had the Holy Ghost before you was born. Great. Great. You may be seated. I was in a service one night, and this man got up to compliment his wife. It was their anniversary. And he stood up like he was really getting ready to make up. First class address. Saints, this lovely lady that is sitting to my right has been my beautiful bride for 25 years. And I am so happy to announce tonight that I love her tonight just like I did on the first day of our wedding. And the whole church went, oh. You could hear them sighing, John, Mary. They were just swept away with such sentiment. And I said, wait a minute. Wait a minute. So you think you said a whole lot, huh? She has smelt your dirty feet 25 years. stayed up all night when you had the colic. Put wash rags on your fevered brow. Gave you beautiful children. Listen to you moan and groan for 25 years. And you say you don't love a bit more tonight than you did then. Shame on you. Fasten your seatbelt. You're probably not ready for it, but here it comes. It's a reproach in the sight of God for the new converts to out-shout the mature saints. That new convert and you ask him, honey, what are you shouting about? Feels good. Feels good. What else are you shouting about? Feels good. Feels good. Feels good. How come you're so happy? Feels good. He's never been the lily of their valley. He's never been their great physician. He's never been their healer. He's never been their sustainer. He's never been their friend. He's never been their bright and morning star. They don't have anything to shout about. And we sing every day with Jesus. It's sweeter than the day before. You can't prove it by some folks. And then some of y'all folks, and I don't mean to speak out of school, but we need revival. You blessed old folks, listen to me. You sit around and talk about how it used to be and the way they used to do it. And you say this bunch don't know nothing about it. Well, why don't they? It may be because you haven't shown them. If you know how it's supposed to be, show us, we'll follow you. Show us how to do it. We're ready. Come on, senior saints. Show us how to praise God. Are you in retirement or are you still on fire? We're ready to follow you. Get in about five senior saints to walk around the building as fast as you can. They still got it. They still got it. It's still alive. It's still real. It's still powerful. They still love it. Everybody talk in tongues. Everybody play through. Everybody get victory. Everybody get the Holy Ghost. Come on. God wants to give us a Pentecost. Starting to look a little more like Pentecost now. Starting to feel a little bit more like the upper room. Starting to be a little more like the Book of Acts. Churches, I don't have time to preach my sermon. I'm going to stop right here. Most of our churches, it's five or six that shout. And when church is over, it's the other bunch that goes to the restaurant and brags about it. Boy, they tear it up in our church. We still got the fire in our church. Buddy, we can win. If you don't shout, don't brag about it. If you like it so much, why don't you do it? I'll tell you what the problem is. Some folks, you know, you see them and they say, oh, just a little bit more and I'd have got with it. God, help us. Where's that little bit more? Where's it at? It's like the fellow said, I'm aiming to do this, and I'm aiming to do that, and I'm aiming to do this. God walked up beside him and said, for heaven's sake, quit aiming. Shout! It's time to get with it. It's time to be Pentecostal. It's time to have revival. Remain standing. You get the Holy Ghost easier, maybe. Shame when you have to help folks get it, supposed to have it. Say something else, Brother Cole. Whole lot easier for folks to get the Holy Ghost around folks that's really got it. Hard to heat up an oven with snowballs. You mean I gotta do this to have revival? Jesus said, tarry. Don't depart. Stay there until you are endued with power from on high. Several years ago, 2 or 3 years ago, I was preaching a camp in a relatively large district, United Pentecostal Church. I won't tell you which one. It was a senior high youth camp. For 2 or 3 nights, I preached and I preached and I preached. And I thought, man, that sign must have been wrong. This is the Assembly of God. This can't be the United Pentecostal. There was hundreds of young people sitting there. They wouldn't budge. I did everything I knew to do, you know, praise God. I felt like that I was preaching in tie or something. And I needed to be untied so they could get what I was saying. They just sat there. And they got to eating on me bad. And I went to prayer about it, and I just started pouring my heart. I'm concerned about Pentecost. You know, maybe I got branded wrong. But I told you who I got the Holy Ghost under, didn't I? It's the one that screams the loudest. It's Rather Lungs himself. Brother Spears was preaching when I got the Holy Ghost. And maybe I thought that's the way good preachers did it. Scream and holler and sweat. He marked me, maybe. I'm concerned about Pentecost. I like it fiery. I like it holy rolling. I like it tongue talking. I like it dancing in the aisles. I like it shouting and falling over the pews and falling over the altar. I told you I was getting ready to move into our new church. Somebody said, you going to get us one of them fancy communion tables to go out front of the pulpit, Brother Huntley? I said, why? For people to bust their heads on? That's all they'd do is that get concussions praising God. I said, we don't need that. We want room to do what we come to do. When I went to pray that afternoon, I just began to talk to God. I said, oh God, Lord, these people are not doing nothing. God, is it me? What's wrong? They act like they don't understand what I'm saying. They act like they've never seen what I'm preaching to them. And they act like they're on a different plane or something. God, what's wrong? And the Lord said, you're right. They don't understand you. He said, half of them has never shouted in their life. And they don't know what you're talking about. Because they've never done it. So that next night in church, I just started preaching. God gave me this verse of Scripture to preach to them.
see which one it is here. Revelation 3 and 1. I think that's it.
And unto the angel of the church and Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name.
You have a name.
That thou livest.
That you are alive.
And art dead.
But I'm telling you, you're dead.
All right.
I'll come back to that in a minute. Read on. I just saw something else in that passage.
Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain.
Whatever you've got left, pump it up.
Whatever you got left, fan it, feed it, nurture it, nurse it, don't let it die. Read.
That are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God.
Go ahead.
Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard.
Remember how you got it.
Come on, Pentecost.
Right.
Let's go home. Remember where we got it.
Read. And hold fast. Get a hold of it.
And repent.
And repent.
If therefore thou shalt not watch.
If you don't repent, if you don't watch.
I will come on thee as a thief.
I'm going to come like a thief.
And thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee.
You're going to not know when I come, but here's what I'm going to do. Read on.
Thou hast a few names even in Sardis which have not defiled their garments. And they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. And I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels.
All right, that's good. God said, you have a name that you are alive, but really,
really,
I know,
really now,
you're dead. You know what he was saying? You are living by reputation alone.
That's all.
You are living off somebody else's experience. And you don't have it yourself. God said this bunch of young people are living off somebody else's experience. Pentecost has got a reputation of aisle running, tongue talking, dancing in the aisles, casting out devils, healing the sick. But you might as well admit it today. We talk about it more than we do it. God said, when you preach to them tonight, tell them what I told you. So when I got through preaching that night, I said, the Lord seemed to speak to me today. And he said, half of you have never shouted in your life. I said, how many of you will be honest with me today? And you'll stand up and say, Brother Honey, I want you to help me. I've never rejoiced in the Holy Ghost in my life. I've never danced in the aisles or shouted at all. I said, would you stand? And over half of that youth camp stood up. Over half of them. Pentecostal, thoroughbreds, raised in it. Sitting on the pew, don't want to mess up their new clothes. And get sweaty because they got a date after church. And got money to spend, cars to ride in, and things to do after church. Half of them had never shouted in their life. Not in the Assembly of God, in the United Pentecostal Church. Pentecost needs a Pentecost. I said, all right, you come down to the front, and we're going to pray, and I'm going to lay hands on you, and I'm going to believe God, you're going to get liberty. And when we began to pray, we had an explosion, and all of them began to dance and shout and run, and it went on for hours. People praising, loving, worshiping God. And I could walk down here tonight, today, and say, how long has it been since you shouted? How long has it been since you ran down? How long has it been since you talked in tongues? How long has it been since you danced in the Spirit? How long has it been since you jumped up and couldn't contain the power of God that was moving on you? How long has it been since you were the one that started the victory march? How long has it been since you were the one that gave the message in tongues? How long has it been since you gave a prophecy? How long has it been since you were used of God? How long has it been since you fell in the intercession? How long has it been since the Holy Ghost shook you? You know what our problem is? We got our little two-step down, and we do it all the time just to make folks think we still got it. We need a Pentecost. We need a shaking. We need a stirring. And I close like this. We claim to be Pentecost, but I wonder if we've ever had a real Pentecostal service. Now I'm just challenging. I'm with you. You know, I said I wonder if we have, okay? We say we're Pentecost. Have we ever had a Pentecostal service? The only way I know how to find out is to go to the pattern. Now let's check it out. First of all, read. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. Here's the way they came to church on the first Pentecostal service. They worshiped and they came to church with great joy. Haven't even got to church yet.
Hallelujah.
Not out of their cars. Modern day. Going to revival. Hallelujah. Can't wait to get in the church. Can't wait to praise the Lord. Can't wait to get in there. God's going to do something. Have you ever had a Pentecostal service like that? They worshiped him, went to Jerusalem with great joy. What else?
And were continually in the temple praising and blessing God.
Just kept on, just kept on, just kept on. Continually praising, praising, praising. Hallelujah. No, continually, 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 continually praising and blessing God.
And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with
one accord. I don't know if we've ever had a Pentecostal service or not. You know why? The Bible said they... Oh. They were... Oh. With one accord. Have you ever been to a service where they were all... I mean, this is Pentecostal camp meeting. Probably nobody here today doesn't have the Holy Ghost. Still, some of us hadn't talked in tongues. All. All. Well, we can't even get everybody to sing the verse together. Some want to wait till the chorus. Oh. We can't even get everybody to stand up. I shall preach the rest blindfolded. I hope my wife's standing up. I'm hot tonight. Come to church next week. Cold. He's hot. He's cold. I'm hot. He's down. I'm up. He's up. I'm down. Pentecost. Oh. 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 Preachers. Hey, you shout all. That'll be your line, okay? Preachers. Saints. Pastors. Evangelists. Instant preachers. Pew warmer. You're supposed to say all after everything I say. Let's start again. Pastor. Choir leader. Deacon. Elder. Instant preacher. Saints. Everybody. 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 That's what we'll bring Pentecost.
And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind. It filled all the house where they were sitting.
Here's what they were doing. They were sitting there. But in their spirits, they were hand in hand. Let's join hands.
Yes, sir.
Just a minute. Please. They were in the upper room sitting, but in their spirit, here's what they were doing. Come on, brother. With me now, ready? Send it. Send it. Send it. Send it. Send it. Send it, Lord. Send it, Lord. I want you to draw in hands and let's get ready for a Pentecost. Send it, Lord. Send it, Lord. Send it, Lord. Send it, Lord. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven like a rushing mighty wind. And it filled the house. All the way in the back. All the way to the front. To the left. To the right. In the middle. On the outside. All. 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 Everybody. Everybody. Pentecost needs a Pentecost.
Revival preaching and praise will get money out of preachers. I looked down and somebody shouted the money out of their pocket. I feel like we can receive a good camp meeting offering here today. Hallelujah. I want the ushers there ready to go. And what we're going to do is a twofold thing here. We're having prayer all night after we dismiss. This will go to our speakers, by the way. This is that extra blessing we want to put upon them. But we're going to do two things quickly. We're praying from after the dismissal time at night till about 8 o'clock the next morning. What we need, we've got some pledge cards. We need some participants. If this is going to crescendo like it wants to, we must...